glad you're joining me today. This is The Chat, and I'm glad you have come. In fact, if you have never come and been a part of our program, you picked a very interesting day to be a part of our program because we are going to talk about something that I think is going to be very interesting for you, but it's also going to cause you to raise your eyebrow just a little bit. Either way, I'm glad that you joined me. I'm Priscilla, and The Chat is our opportunity to do just that, to chat about some stuff that matters in your life or should matter in your life that you should be thinking about because our culture is thinking about it and introducing it. And today we have one of those topics that we're going to be discussing. Have you heard about the book 50 Shades of Grey? If you haven't, I'm sure that your daughter has, your niece has, your mom has, your neighbor, she has heard of it. 40 million women have read this book, and it is on the hot topic of sexuality. And so we're kind of getting a little raw today on the program. It's going to be an exciting show. You are not going to want to miss even 1 minute of it. So stay tuned. It's going to be good. Topic that we're going to tackle today. And let me just tell you this. We have lots of wonderful web shows that are for every age, every season of life. You know, if you have your daughter and you want to pull her in, we have shows that are appropriate for that. This might not be the one that young ears need to hear. So I want you to make a wise decision even right now before we dive into this topic about whether or not your daughter or your niece or a young person in your life needs to watch this particular program, because we are talking about a very hot topic. It's a little book called 50 Shades of Grey. And as I mentioned, 40 million women plus have read this book. In fact, this is one of the fastest selling books of all time. I think that it has sold even faster than the Harry Potter series. And you know how many millions of people have either seen that in the movie or they have read it in books. And so we got to talk about this because it addresses the topic of sexuality, and women are devouring this book. What is it teaching us? What is it telling us? Is it appropriate? And do we have any business reading this book? To help us answer that question, we have a couple sisters who are with us who are going to help us to kind of do a little bit of business with the 50 Shades of Grey. And so this is Dana Gresh. Would you please make welcome Miss Dana?
Thank you. Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad that you're here. We call both of these ladies sexperts because they have made it their business to study sexuality, and a woman who wants to honor God with her body and honor her marriage and be faithful to her marriage. Dana has done that. Her website is purefreedom.org, and she really deals a lot with single women and how they can make sure they are protecting their bodies and their minds, body, soul, and spirit, being prepared for the man that God has for them, and then honoring God. Thank you so much for being with us, Dana, and helping us to understand all this. Mm-hmm. And then there's Miss Julie Slattery. Will you please help me to make Julie welcome. Julie and I first encountered each other at Focus on the Family, where she worked for many years. Even before that, though, as a clinical psychologist, you would deal a lot one-on-one with people in your practice. And she really has made it her business to study sexuality as well, and to study it in the scriptures, but also to study it in the culture. So you're going to help us to make come to grips with some of this material as well. So I got to be honest with you. I have not read through this book. I've just chosen not to do that. And I just wanted you guys to know that just because I'm holding it, it doesn't mean that I'm necessarily endorsing it. But I wanted you to see what folks are running into at the Sam's Club down the street, or the Barnes & Noble, or the Walmart. This is what they're looking at. Why have 40 million plus women read this book? What's the draw?
I think it's scratching an itch.
Okay.
And it might not be the right way to scratch it, but it's definitely meeting what they think is a need. Or it is meeting, they think it's meeting a need. And there might be different opinions on what that need is, but women are saying that it's livening up their sex life, and it probably is, at least for a short period of time. Barbara Walters on The View said that women are reading it because what they really crave in their lives and they can't find anywhere is a strong man.
Oh, and so they're finding it in
and
this
book. They think they're finding a strong man in this book.
Okay. Julie, tell us what the book is about, because for someone like me, honestly, it was just in the last couple months that I was even introduced to the book. I had no idea. I'd never heard of it. I didn't know what it was about. So for folks who had never heard of 50 Shades of Grey, what's in the book? What's it about?
Oh, well, I'll give a disclaimer as well that I haven't read the book, and actually there are three books that go in this series, but I've read enough to know what the storyline is, and that's all I want to know. I really don't want it in my head. But the essence of the book is that a young woman meets this dashing older man and falls in love immediately. And within the first week of them knowing each other, he has her sign basically a contract saying, you have to give me permission to do whatever I want to you. And then...
sexually.
Yes. And so it unfolds that this includes a lot of bondage, a lot of harmful sexual and perverted practices. There's a red room of pain that he takes her into to engage in some of these behaviors. So it's a very twisted love story. My understanding that the critics have said it's actually not very well written, but it is, as Dana said, it is really getting into a need and issues that women have down deep inside that no one's addressing.
Yeah.
And this author has tapped into that. I don't think by accident. I really think there's something very spiritual going on here.
Yeah. Dr. Okay. Drew Pinsky says it's pathological and poorly written. Those are probably two things you don't want written about your book, right?
Yeah. Okay, so I've got to ask you, if you've chosen not to read it, if you haven't read it, then what gives you the authority to talk about it if you haven't read it?
Well, you know, I've studied sexuality for about 15 years now, and a very big part of that has been studying the impact of pornography as well as erotica. We don't have as much research on the impact of erotica as we do pornography, but I think a lot of the same conclusions would qualify for those two categories. And categorically, pornography and erotica, while it might initially create this new passion and this new interest in sexuality, even perhaps with your husband, over the course of time, it draws you away from intimacy with a person. It draws you away from intimacy and from sexuality. In fact, New York Magazine ran an article, obviously not from a Christian perspective at all, and found that men who used porn were less likely to be interested in sex with a real partner. But when they fasted from porn, they suddenly were interested in a real person again. I think what you'll find is that it creates an initial interest. The fact that it's a not an external addiction, but one that your body is creating, means that your body can't sustain the arousal level. It's a neurochemical addiction. And so what it eventually ends up in creating is not a desire for more, but a desire for different.
That's interesting. So not more, you want different.
Different,
now.
Yes, you're going to want something different. Very harmful to the intimacy between a husband and a wife.
Okay. Everything you just described that this book is about, all of that, the whole red room of pain, all that stuff, none of that sounds exciting to me. There's nothing about that that makes me go, "Oh, I want
thing.
That." So why, what would draw a woman who wants intimacy and love and to feel passionate and to feel, you know, satisfied and fulfilled in her sexual relationship with her spouse, what would make them excited about reading stuff like that?
Well, we've just kind of given you the broad brush.
Okay.
But if you get into the book, which again, I'm not recommending anybody do, and I've chosen not to do, there are very erotic passages. And just like a man looking at pornography, women are wired to connect more emotionally through a storyline, actually through literature that heightens that arousal. Mm-hmm. And you have chemicals in your body that are designed to respond. Now, God created us with all different kinds of chemicals that are flying around our head and our bodies during sexual intercourse. Some of those are designed to come into play when there's new and exciting love. And those are really the chemicals that draw us to each other and draw us into this lifetime commitment of marriage. I mean, you remember that puppy love. You remember just not being able to think about anything else except for this man that you're so in love with. If we didn't have those chemicals, we'd probably never get married.
Yeah.
And
well,
are those the chemicals that we wish we had 3 months, three years
later? And never survive them throwing the socks on the floor without the chemicals.
Right.
Let's just be real about it.
That's right.
Those chemicals are designed to only last a couple months, really. And there
Doggone
are times,
it.
I know, but there are times in marriage where you can get them back slightly, but but God gave us other chemicals for marriage, like oxytocin and like chemicals that are feel-good chemicals, that life is well and I'm at peace and I can sleep and I can rest and I can actually endure pain better and stress better than I could.
I feel connected.
Because of companionship.
Yes.
And
so those are the chemicals that really sustain a marriage long-term. But what happens is that we can get so addicted to that high. Give me something new. Give me something exciting. Give me something dangerous with adrenaline. Yeah. And pornography, and this is a form of pornography, are designed to hook us yeah. on that high. And as Dana said, what worked last week will not work this week.
We need more.
And it becomes addictive.
Different.
And we also then can't enjoy the deep, bonding, committed sexual love that God designed us to have that is supposed to only get better with time.
Right. You know, I think a lot of women are not aware of what they're getting into when they read the book. It's such a buzzword right now. And I know that my best friend called me and she said, my 70-year-old mom has her name at the library to loan 50 Shades of Grey out. I mean, she just had no idea. She just knew everybody was reading
yeah.
it. A lot of women I've counseled with who are devastated by the impact that it's had in their heart and their minds are saying, I just didn't know. But once I got into the book, I couldn't stop reading it.
Because they were hooked on that feeling.
The chemicals.
Okay. I want to bring a little bit of balance to this because the reality is you guys have studied sexuality and the culture and all that stuff, but you're wives too. I mean, you're women who have sexual needs, sexual desires.
Did you just say that on a Christian radio talk show?
I
right
did,
here?
Girl. I said it.
I'm talking about Dana and I.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Come on, Julie.
I'm a doc.
I'll own it. I own it.
We all do, don't
yes.
we?
Yes, we do.
And the reality is I don't think that Christian women in particular are talking about it. Really,
no.
we're not just owning the fact we have sexual needs, sexual desires, and yeah. that we want that you know, all the little chemicals you were just talking about, we want that feeling. We want to be fulfilled
yes.
in our romantic relationship. So how do we balance the healthy need to be fulfilled sexually? Okay, here's the deal. A lot of Christian women, a lot of my friends that I have talked yeah. to that are married, they are kind of half enjoying sex with their husband. It's not like what they enjoy is being in his arms. They enjoy that connection. But in terms of sex itself being exciting and thrilling and bringing them to a sense of satisfaction and fulfillment, they're not quite getting all of that in there. I mean, you know, it's just kind of, you know, they can kind of take or leave the sex part. As long as they're kind of laying in his chest and they get that closeness, that's what works for them. But as we know, that does not just work for the husband. So they go through with the whole thing. But for them, sex isn't totally fulfilling. So,
and God created them to love it. God, it's a gift from God. So I would say there's probably two things that are really important. And I'll just fall on my sword and say that I've been that woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been in that place. And the Lord really had to do two things for me. One was I had to go through some sexual healing. Because if you have sexual brokenness in your past, whether it's something that you did when you were 15 or you struggled with erotica or you struggled with porn, you can't enjoy the holy connection that God's created for your marriage bed unless there's healing in that part of you. And he did a deep, deep work of healing in my heart. But then several years ago, I frankly came to Julie and I said, Julie, there's part in our
Who
marriage?
Hasn't come to Julie? We all go to Julie.
I need help, Dr. Julie. And I just said, you know, there's part of our marriage that's not working. And I think there's a stigma sometimes for Christians that marriage counseling or even sexual therapy is not a good thing. I wish we could call it marriage coaching.
Yeah.
Praise Jesus. The Greshes have had a lot of marriage coaching. And I'm so thankful. And so we went to Julie and got
advice from
her.
It's like tuning up your car, isn't it? It's like you can't, it doesn't just run on one good tune-up at the beginning of the year. There are a couple of times maybe throughout the year you got to get the oil changed. You've got to get, you know, you got to stop at the gas station and get the gas tank filled up. Doesn't mean anything's broken. It just means to keep it running smoothly, you take it in every
and
once
And sometimes
in a while.
It is broken. In me, there was a broken piece of me. And Julie advised me, and I went to the resources of Clifford and Joyce Penner, phenomenal Christian sex therapists. They have written resources. They do counseling. And, man, the Lord brought back the chemical factory. I mean, he just fixed it. And the chemical factory is alive and well. And we shouldn't be afraid as Christian women to go to solid Christian resources to fix that which ails us.
Or even not even Christian women, just women who were taught up to, grew up to be and reared to be good girls.
Yeah.
And that what that meant was kind of ignoring the sexual part of you. And I think that's part of what this book has done. It's invited the sexual part out that has been hindered in so many women for so long. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of it is we've been taught, whether it's in a church setting or just our society, that sex is about men. And a good wife will understand her husband's sexual needs and meet those needs. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with that, but that's not all God created sex for. He created it for women. And a woman's sexuality is far more difficult to discover. It's far more complicated. So what ends up happening in most cases is that the sexual relationship within marriage revolves around the man's needs. Mm. It revolves around when he's ready, what he wants. And the woman adopts this attitude of, okay, this is my wifely duty, or I'm tired of this, or I don't count. What 50 Shades of Grey and other things like that have done is they've given women permission to be sexual. And unfortunately, the church has not done that. Mm-hmm. Our culture as a whole, in terms of morality, hasn't done that. But if you look in the Bible, in one of St. Paul's letters, 1 Corinthians 7, it talks about how we're not supposed to withhold our bodies from each other when we're married. Mm-hmm. And it starts with the woman's needs. It says, ladies, your body is your husband's, but it says first your husband's body is yours and he's supposed to please you. So you have God's word saying women are sexual. They have sexual yes. needs.
He wants to speak sweetly to you through his spirit. He wants to give you the comfort that only he can offer. He's the one in the blink of an eye that can change everything. You are supposed to personally have a relationship with him. He wants to reignite the fire of your relationship with him this weekend. The greatest miracle he can perform is in your own heart and in your own mind, not necessarily in your circumstances, it's in you. Oh, this is gonna be good. I got a feeling about this one. I want you to know that your God is able, that he can. Have you not heard? Have you not heard? So you're saying that there's nothing wrong with a woman discovering and utilizing her sexuality within marriage. You're just saying that 50 Shades of Grey and resources like that have introduced it to us the wrong way.
Right. I'm not only saying there's nothing wrong with it, I'm saying there's something very right about it.
Right.
And sexuality in some ways is very spiritual. And there are whole parts of women that I think are just shut down because of woundedness, because they don't have permission. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to explore sexuality within marriage. Yeah. And so the world says, well, we'll help you out with that. And they've done it in a very twisted way.
And do you know, Priscilla, what will turn your husband on more? Well,
let me tell you.
Being satisfied.
Jerry is going to love you.
That's right.
He's going to love you.
Husbands love, when they truly are in a committed, loving relationship, it turns them on to turn on their wife.
This is true. Yes.
They love to please their wives. It is the greatest turn on. And I think Julie and I were fighting about Song of Solomon in the dressing room. Debating theology.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I might be wrong here, at least according to her. But the book starts out with, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. It's her pursuing the intimate sexual relationship. It's her wanting the pleasure. Mm-hmm. And we should just, do we agree on that?
Absolutely.
Okay,
yes.
So go home tonight and say, baby, Jerry, let you must kiss me with the kisses of your mouth.
My husband is going to throw his wallet just at you.
I know.
Thank you, Dan.
I helped her with that. I need some of that, too.
Oh, okay, yes. Okay. You both have kept mentioning these two words that in my mind would be the same thing, but I'm assuming they're not. Erotica, pornography. Yeah. Could you tell us what the difference is, if any, between those two things and how 50 yeah. Shades fits into that?
Well, I think the point of both of them would be to stimulate with no point other than to stimulate. And by that I mean that God created sex for stimulation and yet to draw you towards intimacy with another person. Whereas pornography and erotica, the sole purpose is stimulation, self-stimulation, solo sex, if you will. The difference being, though, that pornography involves pictures or videos, and erotica would do it solely through written literature.
Okay. So you just brought up something I got to ask about. You said self-stimulation, which brings in our
you
nice
go there?
Word masturbation.
You
yes,
just
I'm
said
gonna,
that.
Where I just
go, girl.
On television.
Aren't you proud of her?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you have any letters of complaint, please write them to Dana or Julie. I want to talk about masturbation because a lot of women are dealing with it, and honestly, they don't know what to do with it. They don't know if it in and of itself is necessarily a sin against God. They don't know if they're feeling very guilty for it. Please tell us what to do, because as you mentioned, women are reading the book and then stimulating themselves physically as a result of what happens emotionally and chemically in their bodies because of what they're seeing written down on the page. Talk to us a bit about masturbation for single women. Maybe, Dana, you can give us help with this for single women. And then, Julie, maybe for married women, what does this look like and how do we kind of filter all this through?
Well, I think we've got to start out by saying masturbation at a basic level is a physiological thing, like brushing your teeth is or sneezing. It's something you're doing to your body.
I believe God created sex to be something that brings us together, to be shared between one man and one woman. That was his purpose and his intention. And if you look at the Hebrew language for sex in the Old Testament, the word means to miss the mark. So, you know, picture a bullseye, and right in the middle of that bullseye is God's intended best. This is his intention and his purpose. If his purpose is to bring us towards someone, then if you're masturbating and becoming withdrawn into your own self-gratification, then I think it is sin. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's a tool that is bringing you in the context of marriage closer towards your husband, then it may not be a sin, which is a very complicated territory.
And we bring it before God and just say, okay, is this right or wrong? You take the example of a single woman. Maybe she's been married and then divorced, and she knows what sexuality is. Those desires have been awakened. She's 45 years old. She's saying, God, I don't know how to handle these physical desires, these emotional desires. Is masturbation the best way to fulfill those? Not necessarily. But in some respects, and a lot of experts believe this, as long as it's not enslaving, it can be a form of natural release. Now, again,
I give different advice than
okay,
that.
Okay, go for it. Yes.
Go ahead, Dana.
Well, you know, I work mostly with single women.
Okay.
And I think that where I really agree with Julie is that there is an unhealthy, overly guilty feeling associated often with masturbation. Mm-hmm. I don't think when someone is enslaved and doing it habitually, I've had a missionary kid, a 19-year-old missionary kid, literally faint in my arms when she finally confessed that she was struggling.
Because she was carrying it
just
so emotionally.
That's completely overriding the Holy Spirit. So he doesn't give us a spirit of condemnation, but maybe conviction.
And there's more shame with masturbation than with sleeping around.
Yes, absolutely.
Why is that?
I agree.
Why is that?
Because I think it's so hidden, it's so private, you know, and it's this, and whenever there's this secret that no one's addressing, all of a sudden the enemy just gets this hold on you, and there's so much shame. Married women feel incredible shame for masturbation, again, even more than they would reading 50 Shades of Grey, or more than they would fantasizing or acting out in a sexual affair, which is crazy.
My encouragement is always, I say it this way, sex is not a solo sport. And while there are exceptions, I think, in my opinion, where it draws you towards your husband, I think most of the time, for that single woman prior to marriage, it's not going to do that. It's not going to fulfill that purpose. You know what? Everything hard is usually worth it.
Yeah.
Working out for a 5K run, you know, going from couch to 5K, all my friends are doing that on Facebook. I myself am not. I'm working on the 5K to the couch program. But, you know, it's worth it to cross that finish line and to know how hard you worked for that. I think for a single woman to be able to say, listen, this high sense of shame and guilt, this is not from God the Father. Mm-hmm. But his best for you is to do the hard work of pressing your desires towards that wedding night.
And do you think that a lot of dissatisfaction, that a lot of women are experiencing in marriage is because of what they did in singleness?
Well, sometimes.
Well, I think almost all of us learned about sex in the context of shame. Mm. whether it was sexual abuse or it was acting out sexually or it was masturbation or seeing something you shouldn't have seen. And so our bodies become hardwired to associate sexual pleasure, which is supposed to be good, with shame and guilt. And when you get married, that doesn't go away. So there's a lot of retraining that needs to happen. And a lot of Christian women, I think, because they feel that shame and guilt, they just subconsciously assume, okay, my sexuality is bad. It's wrong to have sexual feelings. It's wrong to enjoy this too much. Mm-hmm. And they shut that down.
Well, even if they haven't had, there are those exceptional cases where they really have had a beautiful experience of innocence. Mm-hmm. I was counseling a young woman for premarital counseling, and she was so innocent to it all that she was reading this book that I had given her to her and started telling her dad, "Do you know about orgasm?" I was like, "That's probably not an okay conversation with your dad." But that's how innocent she was.
Yeah.
After marriage, though, because she had heard no from so many years, she had a hard time saying yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
It's still associated with shame.
That's
the message,
true.
no, I mean, that was really my background.
Right.
And that came with me into marriage. Yeah. And the first decade was difficult.
Yeah.
Because when you hear no from the church or from your parents, the association is there's something wrong with this.
But there has to be a no attached to it, but a no kind of coupled with a yes in terms mm-hmm. of, here is what God has given you your body for,
yeah.
And that you're looking towards and forward to something in terms of how the Lord will allow you to use it in different
yeah, yeah.
seasons of your life. Now, let me tell you this. The very first time I was introduced to 50 Shades, it was because a woman in my church who didn't just, you know, show up out of the blue in the past year. She's been a part of our church for a very, very long time. I know for sure she loves the Lord. I know she wants to honor her husband. Great woman. She came to me so excited about this book because she said, "Have you read 50 Shades?" And at the time, I didn't know what it was, just a couple months ago. What in the world is that? She described it to me and she said, "It has totally changed my marriage. We have got so much passion going on and intimacy going on like we have never had going on before." So I want to talk to you a little bit more about that. We've got a part two to this program. And what we're going to continue to talk about is what is okay for those of us who want to honor God, we want to honor our husbands, we want to have a passionate, hot, fiery relationship with the man in our life. We're going to talk about what is okay for us to do, what isn't okay, and how we can make sure that not only our spouse is enjoying our sexual relationship, but that we're enjoying it. Because from what we've heard today, sex isn't just for them, it's for us too, for us to be fulfilled and to find satisfaction and enjoyment as well. So we're going to have a great part two to this, so you're going to want to hang tight and not miss it. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We have had a great conversation. Thank you. We'll see you next time. Hey there. I am so glad you were here at The Chat. This is our little living room where we all pull up our hot lattes and coffees and sit in your comfy chair and join us for a chat about something that hopefully will be impactful to your life. Maybe some questions you've been asking other friends of yours, or maybe you've just been asking in your own head. We hope to bring some answers to those. And we're talking about a hot topic. Actually, we've already been talking about it. This is part two. And if you missed part one, you have got to tune in because we're dealing with 50 Shades of Grey. If you've never seen this book before, I bet you have passed it in your Walmart or Sam's Club or Barnes & Noble, or you have friends who've been reading it or talking about it, and you've been wondering what in the world is it all about and why is it such a phenomena? And listen, a phenomena it is. It has sold over 40 million copies worldwide. It is one of the fastest selling books of all time. And so we figured we ought to talk about this book that is addressing women and their sexuality. It really is impacting women everywhere. And we need to figure out what business we need to do personally and corporately with a book like this one. And so we're having that conversation today on The Chat. You're going to want to stay tuned because this is going to be a hot topic you do not want to miss. All right, if you have got some young ears nearby, this might be the time you want to scoot them into the other room or just kind of be wise and discerning about who tunes into this program, because we are talking about sex, we're talking about women, we're talking about fulfillment, we're talking about passions, Those are the kind of things we are addressing here. And if you know anything about me, you know I don't really mince a lot of words. So I'm going to try to be delicate, but there are going to be some things that come up that you might want to make sure that the people around you are at appropriate ages and seasons of life to hear. We're talking about 50 Shades of Grey. And to help us to do that and to get a handle on what this is all about are two wonderful, wonderful women who I know not only from today on this program, but who I've known for years. And I'm so glad that they're bringing their expertise in the area of sexuality to us during this program. Dana Gresh, purefreedom.org is where you will find her. She is a woman that helps single women in particular to get a handle on their sexuality. And then we've got Miss Julie Slattery. She's a clinical psychologist and a woman who is at AuthenticIntimacy.com. She's answering questions about how we can have authentic intimacy. She's studied it. And she has prepared wonderful ways to really discuss this topic with women from different cultures and different walks of life. And even more importantly than either of those things, y'all, what I love about you is that you are wives who want to make sure that you have fulfilling marriages, that your husband's fulfilled, but also that you are enjoying sex as it was meant to be enjoyed by women. So thank you so much for being here and sharing with us. I told you that there was a woman in my church who introduced this book to me. I had never heard of it before. I had never really laid eyes on it before. And she said, Priscilla, this book has changed my marriage. It kind of was dull and a little bit lifeless. But then I started reading this and it really brought passion into my marriage. I mean, she had a big old grin on her face. She was smiling. She was so excited. So tell us a little bit, for those who missed part one, tell us a little bit about what this book is about and why so many women are having that kind of reaction where they're just so excited about the passion that they say it's bringing into their relationship.
Well, the series of three books is really coined as a love story. It's about a relationship of a young woman and an older man who apparently doesn't have to work very hard but has tons of money and lots of free time, just like all romance novels has. But the difference of this is that it really, the whole relationship is around sexuality. And kinky sexuality, the kind of sex that involves things like bondage and humiliation and physical pain. And women are just flocking to this, as you've said. Yeah. It's hitting a nerve, even though even critics will say the book is not very well written. But everybody's reading it, and they can't put it down. And Dana, I know you have some thoughts on why.
Well, you know, for every woman with a story like that, where she says, my passion is aroused, and my husband, my relationship is great with my husband again, I can tell you a story of a woman who is devastated by it. Mm. Now, she might be further down the road, because maybe she discovered erotica 5 years ago or 10 years ago, but now she's jobless, and she has lost her access to her children, and she's not married anymore because of the long-term addiction that just overwhelmed her life when she opened the door through erotica. Another thing you can look at is, since 50 Shades of Grey has come out, AshleyMadison.com, which is a matchmaking adulteress website, has said...
Wait a minute, back up a second.
Yes, I just
it's
said that.
It's a matchmaking site, but for people who want to enter into adulterous relationships?
They want to commit adultery without any strings attached. And they have stated...
And there's a website for that.
There's a website for that.
Interesting.
And they have stated that since this book's release, they have had a tremendous increase in the number of women who are coming to their website that want to try bondage, dominance, sadism, and masochism, but they're afraid to tell their spouse. In fact, a 62% increase in those who want to have affairs since the book came out less than a year ago.
So this is a monogamous relationship in this book, but it's not necessarily producing that in the lives of real people who are reading it.
And let me ask you, how would you feel differently if a man came to church and said, I have discovered this online porn site that is so amazing, and my sex life with my wife is just through the roof now? What would our reaction be?
Ick.
We'd be like,
this guy needs to get a life.
Like, really?
Really.
Does your wife really want you thinking about what you just saw when you're with her? And yes, the chemicals might be flying.
That's a good question.
You know, you sit by someone on an airplane reading this book. A guy would never be caught looking at his laptop, looking at porn on an airplane.
You know, it is so interesting you said that, because my husband and I were flying somewhere even recently, and he did not see the cover of the book. We remember, up until now, we had never laid eyes on this book at all. She was just flipped over, open to, she was sitting across the aisle from him, and I guess he just glanced over and saw a few pages, and I think she might have been reading it on her Kindle. Anyway, the words were to where he could see it, and just a couple of lines of what he saw on that page. He thought she must be like reading porn. That's what it looked like to him.
Porn.
And then it occurred to him that it was 50 Shades of Grey. Mm-hmm. So you're saying this is erotica. Would you classify this as pornography for those who are trying to kind of struggling a little bit with pornography and erotica? How would you classify what's in this book?
Well, they're two different forms of the same type of sin.
So kind of twins.
Yeah, they really are. And here's the question that your friend needs to ask. My marriage is so precious to me and so valuable to me that if there is a problem with the intimacy between my husband and I, and there's one way, 50 Shades of Grey, where I can kindle the fires and become introduced, but there's tremendous risk involved, or there are other ways to rekindle that fire and fix maybe problems in the marriage bed that don't have the risk but offer the same amount of intimacy and a greater progression towards what God's intention is,
why would you want that?
To go to 50 Shades of Grey?
Well, and I think, honestly, a lot of women don't realize what they're getting themselves into.
Yeah.
I think that all the risk you're talking about, your mind kind of being off in a fantasy land that your marriage can never compete with, and that dissatisfaction that it will ultimately lead to, I don't think they realize when they start reading that there are even those risks that are involved.
Right.
As both of you have mentioned, it is a healthy itch that needs to be scratched that women have.
And I think if you look at it like this, sexual pleasure and the sexual buildup is a process. And for many women, it takes a lot of energy to get there. It's almost like running a 5K.
Yes, it could be exhausting for some.
Yes, especially when you've got kids at home or there's conflict in your marriage and you see signposts along the way. Okay, my body's responding this way. My mind's responding this way. This is a shortcut. We'll get you there immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And so women not only get there immediately reading it, but it gives them something mentally to get there immediately, so that when they're with their husbands, all of a sudden they can take that shortcut. There is always a price to pay in a shortcut. And what you end up doing is you end up deteriorating that healthy muscle of teaching your body and your mind how to become aroused, how to enjoy sex with your husband in the natural God-given way.
Okay.
It's like, you know, you want something good to eat, so you eat a bunch of sugar. Does it mm-hmm. taste good immediately? Absolutely,
yeah.
It does. But in the long run, you can no longer enjoy an apple because your system...
That is a good analogy. That is why you're a doctor.
That's right. That's exactly right. Okay, I want to talk about the healthy side of this, which is, you kind of just mentioned it, Dana. You said, you know, if there is a way to be fulfilled without all this risk attached, then how do I pick up on and really engage in the healthy way to do what 50 Shades of Grey is doing illegitimately? And so I want to talk about that because there is a healthy itch that needs to be scratched in the lives of women in terms of their sexuality and their passions. So if there's a woman who's saying, you know what, honestly, my sex life is a little lackluster, maybe not to my husband, maybe he's quite satisfied, but as you said, it takes a little longer, much more work. What are healthy ways that I can develop a passion that I don't have right now?
Yeah, I think first of all is getting the permission to be sexual and be passionate in marriage. You know, I think we're so afraid, particularly if you're Christian or religious, of what you can't do, that you just shut everything down and you don't realize that God says, I created you as a sexual being. I created you to experience sexual pleasure. And I give you permission to pursue that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a huge first step. Once you understand what God says no to, he says, you know, don't commit adultery. He says, don't commit incest or have orgies or things like that. Homosexuality is wrong. And you have these boundaries. Once you put those boundaries in place, he says, enjoy it. You know,
yes,
be creative.
There's lots of yeses.
Yes.
Some no's, but lots
discover
of yeses.
Some things. Try new things. And
okay,
I think,
wait a minute, stop right there. You just said try new things.
Yes.
We need to talk about what is okay.
Yeah.
What, when a woman has given herself the permission now, okay, wait a minute, I should be satisfied in this relationship. It shouldn't only be my husband that reaches orgasm. I should as well, but I'm not. How much freedom what are the kinds of things that are okay in the bedroom that maybe have been, they're kind of taboo
or
and folks say, yeah,
people have
maybe I shouldn't be doing
about.
Yeah. What are things that are just, they're just okay and we should try them and enjoy them?
Well, I wish that there were a list of you can do this, you can't do that.
Well, if you could write us a list, we'd appreciate it.
Well, I can't, because I'm going to go from God's word, because okay, he's the one that designed sex in the first place. And as I mentioned, there are certain things he says no to that are morally wrong, that are destructive for you, that are destructive to your body. Yeah. And one of the most important things, and this gets into 50 Shades of Grey, is that sex should be between two people in a committed relationship for life. And that's not just physically, it's mentally, it's emotionally. So it's just as wrong for me to fantasize about another man as it is for me to act out on that. It's just as wrong for me to bring pornography into my marriage, even though there's no one in the flesh.
Because it includes other people.
And let me piggyback on that and say that in the Hebrew language, the word for sex between a husband and wife is the word yada, 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 you know, blah, 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 boring, boring. Not so boring after all, right? And the meaning of it is to know, to be known, to be deeply respected. That skips the physical, doesn't it? And it goes right to the mental and the emotional. And so many times we fool ourselves and we think, well, you know, of course I'm only going to have sex with my husband, but mentally I'm going to read 50 Shades of Grey. Hello? That's such an affront against God's definition, his core definition of what he wanted it to be, right?
Absolutely.
So that, does God say no to it as your first
right,
test?
The first thing is, God already said, no, don't do this.
And if he hasn't?
Then the second question is related to that. Is it only me and my husband? Does this only involve us?
Okay.
And the third question is where we get a little tricky here.
Okay.
And the question is it good for us? Mm. You know, the Bible says that everything is permissible to me, but not everything is beneficial.
So everything is benefiting us.
Everything is permissible to me, but I should not be mastered by anything. In other words, it shouldn't have an addictive element. So when you look at things like oral sex, you look at things like sex toys and all these different options that a couple has, you know, just new places, new positions, that sort of thing.
And even some of the more kinky stuff, like there's spanking and then there's the red room, right?
Yes.
The red room is in the 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes, absolutely. So for a married couple, if they were to look at something like the Red Room of Pain or BDSM, you know, this kind of bondage,
sadism, dominance, masochism.
Right. And you say, okay, is this beneficial? Is this loving? Does this promote safety and security with us as a couple?
And those things would...
Is there a risk associated with it, which we've just said?
And there are some things that are clearly, no, that's not beneficial for any couple. It is not beneficial for you and your husband, I don't care if you enjoy it or not, to humiliate each other, to cause physical harm or physical pain. It's not beneficial.
If there's aftercare involved, it was probably not beneficial.
Right. That's a good word.
Which is a tragic thing. We've had to study, both of us, the bondage, dominance, sadism, masochism movement, and many of their websites will say that if there isn't aftercare required, it really hasn't been what it's supposed to be. You know, we're talking about visits to the hospital, visits to the doctor, Band-Aids, bandages. Tell me how that's beneficial.
Mm. Or even further, humiliation and degradation of a person's humanity.
Yeah. But we're talking about what does work.
Okay.
Well,
so let's get over.
You mentioned sex toys, and I'm going to stop right there for a second because
I
am going to stop right there, girl.
Did I really mention that?
You said it out of your mouth.
I don't remember saying that.
So that means you get to answer the question.
Both of you get to answer the question. How about that, Dan? I'm putting you on the spot too. Here's the thing. That is hugely taboo. A woman that has been, you know, raised up in the church, or not even in the church, just morally good girl, she would hear you say sex toys and just automatically go into convulsions over the thought that that would be okay. But for a woman, are you saying that for a woman who, you know, she is in a loving relationship with her spouse, but achieving orgasm, reaching fulfillment and satisfaction, that moment of ecstasy that it's easier for her husband to come to, but very difficult for her to come to, are you saying the exploration of things that assist in that process are okay within the, not secretly, but within the context of their marriage, that's
the way you just described it? I'd say yes, absolutely.
Ooh, you're going to get some letters, girl.
But let me paint a different picture, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's paint a picture of a couple who's married and who constantly needs something new. And what worked last week doesn't work anymore because we're always pushing the boundaries. Mm. Always have to have something exciting. that becomes something that is a mastery kind of issue. It has master over us. We cannot just enjoy each other. Mm-hmm. In that case, the motivation and the end result there is not growing in love and benefiting in love. It becomes something that overrides love. So again, there's no this clear, it's always right or it's always wrong. Right.
But let me define sex to a little bit if I
can. Thank you. Do it.
Because there, those that have a stigma with it and would be, you know, fearful of it. Have you ever used massage oil?
Right.
Like I would say that's probably a tool, a toy, a feather, you know, to massage someone's back. And, you know, so there's these things that we
say,
oh, that's okay.
We've just kind of classified certain things
in
this box.
Right, that's okay. That's not a sex toy. Well, is it helping to achieve arousal? Yeah, it is. And there are certain things that we would be more apt to call sex toys that are in a non-harmful, helpful, beneficial way, helping to achieve intimacy and arousal for a spouse that we would consider to be really taboo, and maybe they're not.
Okay, let me ask you a question on behalf of a woman who's found freedom in that area, and maybe she's saying, you know what, thank you. Somebody's telling me that it is okay that my spouse and I together have chosen to use a sexual toy to help us together to achieve passion and intimacy in our relationship. But what if it is a woman who, we were talking about this a little bit earlier, I prepped you for this question. The only way she can achieve orgasm is with this little toy. Now, she enjoys sex with her husband, but over the 20 years that they were married, she enjoyed it. But she never actually, she actually put orgasm out of her mind because she thought maybe her body couldn't even do it. Right. But now she realizes her body can do it, but it does. She has to incorporate this into their sex life in order for that to happen. She doesn't need it. She doesn't have to do it. But without it, she doesn't have the orgasm.
Yeah, I'd say good for her. I mean, part of it is for about 50% of women, orgasm is difficult to achieve. It requires some kind of manual stimulation. There are all sorts of reasons for this. But if she's found something within a committed relationship that stimulates her body, and she and her husband are enjoying that together, I really believe God would say, be blessed. Enjoy.
Do you know how many women you just freed up? I mean, seriously, there's a lot of folks that just are feeling like the load of guilt come off of them, even to hear that 50% of women struggle with it. Because I think a lot of women think they're the only one that's not having an orgasm.
You know, here's what Satan does. He has this delight in things that are wrong, and he has this feeling guilty about things that are right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we see that in our culture, and we see that's religious women, you know, getting so excited about cheating online on Facebook and having emotional affairs and reading 50 Shades of Grey, and they've given themselves all their freedom to do things that are really wrong. Mm-hmm. But the thing God says is right, which is enjoying sexual pleasure in marriage and exploring each other and having fun, Satan makes you feel guilty. And part of battling 50 Shades of Grey is accepting what God says, enjoy, have fun, I'm all for this. This is what I created it for.
He wants to speak sweetly to you through his spirit. He wants to give you the comfort that only he can offer. He's the one in the blink of an eye that can change everything. You are supposed to personally have a relationship with him. He wants to reignite the fire of your relationship with him this weekend. The greatest miracle he can perform is in your own heart. And in your own mind, not necessarily in your circumstances, it's in you. Oh, this is gonna be good. I got a feeling about this one. Anybody got a feeling? I want you to know that your God is able, that he can. Have you not heard? Have you not heard?
You know, let me say this positive word of advice for every woman out there, no matter what her sex life is like. I think the starting point for a really satisfying sex life in terms of physical pleasure is talking about it. And that's what many married couples are afraid to do. They'll do things together, but they would never use language. They would never talk about their body
like
parts.
They
would
today.
Never. Right. God help us. We are going to get mail. But, you know, I think, you know, sexually speaking, they say that men are microwaves, women are crockpots.
Yeah.
This is a bit of a challenge because for men, a lot of times,
quick
they just
them,
go
slow.
For the special zones.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they don't understand our earlobes are sensitive and our toes and our feet. And it might be a foot massage or a back massage. You know, it'd be like, just stay away from the special spots until I get my back massage and you'll get everything you want. And I'll get what I want, too,
yeah.
You know? So it's so important that we talk through that. And
just say that. You're saying be open
that.
And say, can we
this
start slower?
This is what does it for me, baby. And I know it's going to delay things for you. But in the long run, the fireworks are going to be so much bigger. And yeah. That conversation, I think, is something that Christian women are a lot of times afraid to begin to have. And I would also say that if you're having trouble with orgasm or you're struggling with whether or not something is okay in your marriage bed, don't be afraid to get good, godly Christian advice. Mm. You know, there are experts out there that can probably bounce things off of you because so many of these things are specific to a situation, mm-hmm. right? And you really do need somebody with godly wisdom. So as a woman, go to another godly woman. As a man, God help the men that might be listening to this show. Go to a godly man
and, poor men.
And ask for some advice on what you're struggling with.
And I want to ask about you guys, and not in a real specific graphic
do
way.
Do you now?
Yes, I do. I want, because, you know, we see you as these experts on the topic. You've studied it, but you are women who have your own needs, who have desires in terms of wanting to have passion with your spouses. You've been married
25 years,
and you've been married
18 years.
18 mm-hmm. years. Mm-hmm. So I wonder a little bit about if there has ever been kind of a valley season in terms of your, I know you told us a little bit about it in the other episode, Dana, but just kind of how you came out of that valley and what the Lord used to help you guys sort of find passion again, you know, get your groove back.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I started in a valley, really did. You know, our intimacy in our marriage wasn't great to start with. I dealt with a lot of physical pain. I didn't know why. And then you add kids to the picture. You understand this, three boys being busy, being exhausted. So I could put my little Dr. Julie hat and give everybody else advice. But there was a lot of struggle in our own marriage. And there were things, as I really looked to the Word of God and looked to everything I knew from psychology in terms of how do I address these things, I wrote a book called No More Headaches, and a lot of it was trying to get rid of my own headaches, honestly. But one of the
were you
things,
really having headaches,
no,
or that was just the
no,
excuse?
No, that's no, I didn't. That's just kind of a cliche.
Yes,
thing,
it is.
Know?
Yes.
But one of the things that I realized that helped me so much is the Lord really helped me to see that sex is a lot like Legos,
oh.
And
I know.
I will. And you appreciate this as the mom of three boys. But Legos, when you look at the box of a Lego, you see a completed project of a house or a Star Wars ship or something really cool. If you open up the box of Legos and you think that you're going to find what's on the box, you are going to be really disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've had this picture painted of what sex is going to be. You open it up and you've got all these pieces that don't make sense. You can't fit them together and you get frustrated. But the beauty of Legos is what? Why is Lego such a best-selling toy? Why is
because
it?
Because they get to put together, they yeah. get the joy of discovering,
yeah.
of putting it all together.
And you
together.
Know, your kids first will build the Lego that's
supposed to be. They kind of get frustrated sometimes,
well, sometimes.
Too. Yeah.
Then they tear it apart, and then they build something else, and they're actually learning a skill while they're playing. Mm-hmm. And the same is true with how God designed sexuality. It's not a completed process.
Mm-hmm.
And the difficulties that Mike and I have walked through, and we've walked through a number that I won't mention, but we have learned to forgive each other,
yes.
communicate, be vulnerable, be unselfish. In 18 years, we've not only learned about each other's bodies and how our bodies respond, God has taught us such a deep love and intimacy that it doesn't hold a candle. I mean, what mm-hmm. the world paints on that box is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
When you begin to build together and say, well, this isn't working, let's try this, let's work through this, you cry together. You go through difficulty together. The kind of intimacy that comes with sexuality is so much more profound. And when mm-hmm. that started to happen, when I started to get the glimpse of that, you know, things really took off for us.
That's great. That's great.
I think you have to be creative, too, seasonally. You know, I've counseled young married women with babies at home. Plan a date. If you have to do it at lunchtime, call your husband and schedule a Friday night or Friday afternoon lunchtime while the kids are having a nap.
They call that a nooner.
They do. Yeah. Really? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. We're even getting terminology here today. One of the things in the more recent years is I've gone through some just retraining my mind and my body from some of my healing that needed to happen is our counselor said, you're going to have sex once a week, but you're not going to have sex until you've spent at least 2 or 3 hours dating each other and flirting. You know, and I'm thinking, I have a ministry, my husband has a ministry, we have children, we don't have time for 2 or 3 hours of dating and flirting. I am telling you, I will date and flirt all my counselor says she wants me to for the gift that God's brought out of it. But sometimes, you know, we get so focused on the mechanics of the sex that we forget about the friendship
that
leads to the great
before.
Sex. We were great flirters before we were married. Yeah. And we're good at it again now.
That's so good. So I want to ask you about the single woman who's been watching this whole time. She's kind of like, well, how do I fit into this puzzle? She's got desires, too.
Yeah.
And she mostly hears no, 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 no. Could you just speak into that just a little bit more than just a no? What does this all look like for her in terms of what is being introduced in our culture, what she's supposed to do with her passions and her desires, how she's supposed to protect them? And
this is so hard, and my heart just resonates with the hardness because I've walked through it as a young woman. The Lord did allow me to find a beautiful, wonderful marriage, and yet there are those that don't find that ever.
Yeah,
you have to go to the scriptures again. And I would love to say, oh, here are all these creative ways that you can explore your sexual passion. But instead, the Apostle Paul says, well, if you just have to have that expression of passion, get married.
Yeah.
And that's a hard one to get around, isn't it? And
because it involves it's so much responsibility and commitment
so
attached
much,
to.
Absolutely. Yeah. But the commandments for purity apply to us, whether we're 16 or 60, whether we're married or not married. And
it would be harder for a woman that has been married and is finding herself widowed or divorced and has already kind of tasted that fulfillment of passion.
Right.
It would be so much different for her than a woman who's, you know, 17 and hasn't been married before, or 21 and hasn't been married before.
And yet, can we get creative there, Julie?
Well, I think part of it is realizing that there is a physical urge that's sexual. But ultimately, sex isn't just physical. It's an emotional longing and even a spiritual longing. You know, John Piper said one of the main reasons God created sex was to make himself more knowable. And it expresses this longing of, oh, I just want to be known. I want to be enveloped by love. And so for the single person, you know, there's the one issue of what do I do with the physical drive? But I think more importantly, what am I doing with that deep emotional longing? And we live in a culture where we are so disconnected. I mean, our friends are on Facebook. We text them instead of talking. And so I would say, how rich are your relationships? You know, how rich are the relationships that you have in ministering to people and nurturing to them and being nurtured and really having intimacy with good friends that you share the deepest parts of who you are?
And that you talk openly about these issues,
all
of
it.
Desire.
But when you meet a single whose relationships are so rich, does he or she still struggle with sexual desire? Very well, it could be. But it's much less than the single who's jumping from thing to thing to thing, doesn't have deep relationship, doesn't have deep connection with people or with God. And so some of that is channeling it in a way that meets that ultimate need of, I just want to be known.
Now let me jump on that and say that one of the most left-leaning liberal sexual studies ever conducted was conducted out of the University of Illinois at Chicago. And they found that the most orgasmic, sexually satisfied women were not singles having supposedly hot sex, but were middle-aged, married women in mutually monogamous relationships that had not had sex outside of marriage, and get this, religiously active. The highest level of sexual satisfaction came from the Protestant segment of all different forms of religious activity.
So the folks going to church should be having the best sex.
Oh, I bet. I call it the revenge of the church ladies. but here's the point, and it goes back to what Julie was saying, is that what it's saying is that I'm already satisfied.
Oh, that's
I'm
good.
Already satisfied in the Lord. I'm already full. And so this gift of sex is just a bonus. It's extra. And whether you're married or whether you're single, if you're not fully lost in the love of God, you are never going to find what you need in a human relationship.
You guys have both chosen not to really read the book, The 50 Shades of Grey. You've gotten some excerpts of it. You've dug into it enough to know what it's about so that you can speak intelligently about the resource. But you've chosen not to read it cover to cover, even though 44 million women have chosen to read it cover to cover. Why? Why shouldn't a woman, after we finish this show and they've seen me hold it up, why shouldn't they run to the bookstore and say, hey, I need to devour that and see what it's all about?
The short answer for me is I don't need to step in front of a semi-truck to know it would hurt.
And we talk about all kinds of dangerous behavior that we don't have to try to talk about. I've never tried cocaine, but I can tell you why it will destroy your brain. We talk about pornography, but I don't have to look at pornography to tell you why it will destroy your marriage. And this is no different. You know, some people even told me, if you're going to talk about 50 Shades of Grey and write on it, you really need to read it. And I thought about it, I prayed about it, and I was like, you know what? I don't want that to steal 1 ounce of pleasure that I have with my husband.
Right. And we've been accused of being judgmental. Yeah. And I just want to go on the record as saying we are. And the word judgment means to discern and form an opinion.
Thank you for giving that definition.
And the
yes.
scriptures say that the spiritual man judges all
discerns things. Yes, and thinks wisely
yes.
before moving forward. That's
yes,
good.
That's right.
So your suggestion would be that we not.
That's right.
That we put it down and not read it, leave it in the bookstore.
Have a book burning party.
Have a book burning party. 44 million
copies.
Well,
I would say we are not going to say that she doesn't have the freedom to write it, right. But we would say that we would also have the freedom to burn it.
But, you know, here's what I want to say, too, for those of you who really do have a religious, Christian, spiritual aspect. Sex is spiritual. It is, mm-hmm. flat out spiritual. Do I want spiritual forces of darkness in my sexuality, or do I want to share in God's holiness in my sexuality? And whether you're single or married, your choice is, am I setting this part of myself apart for the,
yes.
for God, for holiness,
right.
For purity in marriage mm-hmm. and outside of marriage before I get married? Mm-hmm. When you dabble in this, you're saying, I want to invite a little evil into what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And down the road, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
You're going to lose.
Okay, so tell us again. What are the three things that those of us who want to be honorable in our marriage, but we want to find passion and excitement and enthusiasm in that relationship, the three questions we should be asking ourselves are?
Okay, first of all, did God say no?
Did he say no?
Okay. Is it only us? Is it only me and my husband? And is it good for us? Is it beneficial?
Is it beneficial?
And
you got it?
Then go for it.
And then go for it.
Yes.
Ooh, we're getting a license to just go for it and enjoy ourselves.
Right.
I'm so grateful to you guys because you really have brought a lot of clarity to a topic that people aren't talking about. People are reading it in the church, but nobody's actually having a conversation. And you guys have helped us not only to get some insight, but then to feel free yeah. to talk about it moving forward. And so there are lots of friendships that you probably have in your life where you and some girlfriends need to have a conversation about whether or not this book is good for you, whether or not what it's introducing is good for you, and how you can hold each other accountable in your relationships if you're married, as single women, how you can hold each other accountable to walk in purity. All those things are so important. And these two ladies can help you to do that on an ongoing, regular basis. At purefreedom.org, you're going to find Dana and all of the details that she has studied, that she's written out in an encouraging way to help you on your journey. And then Miss Julie at authenticintimacy.com, wonderful website that's full of incredible materials to help you with this. And listen, there's also a question and answer option available to you for both of them where you can really ask questions if you've got some questions you need answers to, because this has kind of perked up some intriguing things in your mind and in your heart. Please feel free to ask those questions as well. These ladies are well equipped to answer those questions. This has been a good, we could talk about this for another couple hours. Y'all know that, right?
Yes.
We could keep on going, and maybe we should at a later time we should, but we're so grateful to you guys because you really have brought a lot of clarity. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you for being here. The chat will continue next month. We're so glad that you've taken your time to join us. We're looking forward to seeing you again. See ya. Bye.